Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz. It's Monday. What a weekend in March Madness. And the first number one seed goes down. Baltimore, what is it, University of Baltimore, whatever, they beat Virginia, and they beat them easy. Wasn't even a TV thriller. It was a drill down and a lot of things. Loyola wins two games at the with the last shot of the game, and it looks like the markets are on their last shot as well as we head into yet another Fed week, another week of nonsense and crapola. We've got, God knows what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to do, I'm sure, the usual, which is nothing, showing how clueless they really are and how much and knowledge they actually lack with all their advanced degrees of garbage. It's going to be more of a continuation of, well, you know, we were waiting for this, that, and the other thing, and they're waiting for the perfect exit, and of course there is no such thing, and of course we do know that from history that they have never exited properly ever. And why would I expect this time to be different? Well, I don't expect it to be different. I expect it to be more of the same stuff that they always do, which is nothing, right? I expect them to continue to try to manipulate the economy into whatever they think that it should be, and I'm sure that it'll be the same old garbage as always. It's kind of depressing when you look at what's going on and the true lack of a real free market. To me, that reeks of a lot of issues in the future, and this is where I think the buck will stop here at some point, and it's going to be ugly. I mean, there's no way to look at it. It's going to be an ugly situation again. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we do know it's going to happen, and this is going to be the same as the usual stuff that they just don't seem to get it. And of course, hopefully it'll create at least some trading opportunities on Wednesday going into it, because, that's where we are. And, there's an overwhelming amount of support saying that they are clueless. And, we continue to hear these great stories of how good the economy is. But if the economy is so good, I go back to, what the heck is the Fed doing here? If we are truly doing what we're supposedly doing, then who has a need for the Federal Reserve? I don't need them. I certainly wish they'd get out. I think this goes back, again, the Fed was always very suspect to begin with. But I think that really came into play in the 80s with Greenspan and then Bernanke and then Yellen and now Powell. And I think that this is something that needs to be addressed. And, of course, as we're finding out that there's so many backroom shady deals going on in the government that it'll surely never get checked out. And it'll surely be a problem, as we saw that McCabe got canned 2 days before his retirement, so he doesn't get his pension. You know, they showed how many leaks and things that they have done. You know, Comey's in the news again. And, you know, what are we looking at here? And it kind of shows a sad state of affairs when these things are more important than anything else. And I think this is a narrative that, you know, is actually trying to be pushed around by the left to take everybody's eyes off the ball, that the economy is actually improving, that we are seeing some growth. Now, again, I don't think that the growth numbers are as good as they're trying to make them out to be, but I think we are in better shape. But, you know, when you look at just all of the different structures of what's happening and the massive amount of debt, not only that the Fed has created, not only that the government has created, but the actual individuals have created themselves as well. I think that is something that, you know, we have to look at. And this credit card debt is going to be scary. But again, it does show you, you know, debt shows you that money is not as plentiful as they would like us to believe. Debt shows you that there are many, many more issues out there that we want to admit to. Now, again, we continue to build up this bubble, this balloon on garbage. And it someday, as we all know, that bubble will have to pop. And it's unfortunate that the people that it's going to take with it, because we go back into, we've talked about this a couple of times, but again, back in the news is the overall pension crisis that, you know, there's just not enough money to pay out the retirees. So all the money you paid into your pension is going to be poof, like magic. It's going to be gone. And, you know, I don't know when it's going to, you know, start to affect individuals, but it can't be long now, considering that many of the funds are paying out $3 to $4 to $5 for every dollar they take in. Obviously, it just doesn't last that long, especially when the age that we are to in the aging America, more people are coming to retirement than going into the workforce. So it's going to be an ugly situation. And again, these are just, this has nothing to do with a market that is totally overvalued. This has nothing to do with a market that has been totally pushed up by those who know chasing yield. Okay. And believe it or not, creating more debt. You know, the margin debt that we have created is huge. And if you think that it's going to just go away magically, you better think again. The overall situation of margin debt is almost criminal, what's going on. And I think that, you know, when you continue to ignore all these things, hoping that they will magically disappear, I think you're, as they say, cruising for a bruising. I don't see any way out of what they have created. I can only see a major disaster on tap. And again, who knows when it's going to be, but you know, when you continue to worry, when you continue to ignore warning signs that are basically hitting you in the head, all right, and you continue to let them slide by, all you've really done is created a potential bigger mess out of something that should be done. You know, the sad thing is had the Fed and everybody just let the markets figure it out, we would be on our way to real recovery versus on our way into a real major beatdown. But that's kind of the way it goes. And of course, that's how a 16 seed beats a 1 seed every once in a while. And that's what we're going to see. And it's going to be unfortunate. It's going to be sad, but be ready for it. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. I want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm every day and download The Bubba Show. And don't forget about our high school investing show. Not show, our high school investing program. If you want to help us out, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do make a small donation, we'll be more than happy to give you a free week of our advisory service. And in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step out here for a break. This is March Madness. We'll be right back. Yeah.
right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, and All About Genius. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, hey, Todd. I'm just saying, do you want to place bets on when California secedes from the United States?
I'm hoping soon. I'm hoping maybe tomorrow. It would be great. I can't wait till they go, to be honest with you. I mean, I've never in my life seen such a ridiculous action by one state or one person. It's like they're like out of their mind. I don't understand what's in the water there. Remember, they used to call it the land of fruit and nuts. I don't know what the heck's going on there. What do you think?
Well, I think it's now a different type of fruit and nuts in California. I mean, they just act like they do not want to follow any federal laws. They don't. Everybody else is a bunch of bumbling idiots, and they just want to do things their way. I mean, and in fact, it wouldn't even be the whole state. It'd be just kind of, you know, about 5 miles from the coast inward that I think would want to secede from the U.S. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, I don't understand, you know, the Oakland mayor, the whole situation there just is,
right,
is totally wacko. And it's amazing. Why would it, you know, it's like New York, right? You pay a lot of extra money to live there as well, right? I mean, the taxes are ridiculous, yeah. And yet people flock there. I mean, it's just an amazing situation. But more importantly, what do you think of Larry Kudlow and the Donald Trump new relationship and the whole tariff situation?
Well, you know, I've always liked Larry Kudlow. I think he's common sense. He obviously knows economics. He doesn't totally agree with Trump, but I think Trump knows that they have a mutual respect for each other. And I think he'll be a nice kind of sounding board on things. Like, you know, Trump probably wants to all in, you know, tariffs, big tariffs. And Kudlow might be like, okay, well, let's think this through a little bit. So I think it's good. I think it's good for the economy that he's going to be the new White House advisor.
Do you think Trump really wants tariffs? Or now I said, just I'll give you my views first so you know. But, you know, I said I was on Fox a couple times and I said, look, I think he's just negotiating in public and trying to get the best deal. And I said that I think it's time that the United States flex their muscle a little bit and said, hey, you know, we're tired of being abused by everybody. And if you want to do business with us, you got to give us a fair shot. And I don't think he really wants necessarily tariffs. And I don't think he would have hired or appointed Larry Kudlow because I don't think that I'm sure they talked before they did his appointment. Right. And said, this is what we want to do.
Oh, sure.
What do you think?
Well, I don't think he wants that either, but it's out there. And if China wants to be real jerks about it, he's going to have to do something. But I don't think this is not in China's interest either. I mean, they're going to work something out. But you're right. I mean, for decades, we've just kind of been like, okay, whatever you want. And I for the life of me, I can't figure out why our lawmakers did that. Why do we keep electing them to office? I mean, Trump is, if nothing else, he's educating the public about economics and what's really going on in a global economy. Because, I mean, a lot of people just kind of, they had no idea. I don't think they had any idea. You know, they'd hear about the trade deficit, they'd hear about this or that, and then just move on with their day. And now I think they're finally seeing it has real-life implications on the micro level to people.
And I agree. And look, I don't know that. I think you and I talked about this last week. I think that he's negotiating to get NAFTA fairer. You know, it's just like, for example, a product you might be familiar with, which is wheat. You know, there's a quota what we can ship in, but they can ship in whatever they want to us. And I think that trying to make things fair, and because we are the biggest economy, and because we are the strongest, and we are basically the world's defenders, we should have a better deal. I don't like these bad deals. And certainly if you had to bring things back into this country, don't you think that we could, you know, be somewhere close in price wise if we had to rebuild things in this country?
Yeah. You know, I think it's just, I think maybe this is what happened. A generation ago, the U.S. was just so successful and so wealthy. And we just did these deals and cut everybody some slack. And they were bad deals for us. We were like, well, you know, we're just, you know, why be a bully? Why push people around? And now it's got to the point where they're completely unfair, but yet it's been ingrained in people's minds. And I mean, and if you watch even the Republicans, like Trump was the only one bringing up this stuff. Like nobody was talking about NAFTA before he got involved. And nobody was talking about trade and tariffs. And I mean, it's amazing. He's completely disrupted everything, which we needed. We needed somebody to come in and shake this up, and because it was just like, I mean, it was a slow death. What we were doing, very slow, but it was happening.
And I do believe. I do believe me and the Cowardly Lion, but I do believe that, you know, we need to have a little bit more order, and it's time to really just step up and regain or retake the throne and become the boss. And again, not that we should be bad people about it, but we should take charge because, again, the world goes on a lot because of the United States of America and because of what we do and the way that we provide for everybody. And I think that's it's time to go back to that type of situation and put ourselves right on top. What do you think?
Well, we were like the parents who let the kids do whatever they wanted. Yeah, you could stay up till midnight and eat potato chips and candy bars for dinner and talk back to your parents, and I mean, and that just, and everybody got used to that, you know. I mean, except on, you know, the national level, it's illegal immigrants come in, and we don't question any of that. And you know, we let you know, our some of our industries die, and now all of a sudden the kids are fighting back, and people are mad. They don't like the change that he's implementing, but I think it's good. I think we need this. We need discipline. We need laws that are followed. Everybody needs to understand what the rules are. I mean, for the longest time, it's like, well, what are the rules? I mean, we have these laws, but yet we're breaking them, but nobody seems to care. It was just confusing, and it was not good. I mean, everything needs to be spelled out, and everybody needs to understand. And in terms of trade, I mean, people, you know, you grow your crops or you make your steel or whatever, and you all trade fairly. It's not like this one charges this much to come into the country, but it's free to go. I mean, it all needs to be fair, and it all needs to be changed. I mean, God bless him. I mean, he's taking on everybody in the world and, by doing this stuff. And I mean, that can't be easy, even for somebody like that, but he's doing it.
Hey, listen, and they all hate him for it, but there he is, and he's trying to do what I thought he was, and I think he just wants to be the greatest president ever, and he's trying to do his best.
I think he cares. I don't think he cares if anybody likes him, which is absolutely necessary to do what needs to be done, because the lawmakers really care if people like them. And we've had several presidents, you know, in my adult life that, you know, just want to be liked. You know, they wanted to be loved and admired and adored, and that really hasn't served us well.
No, I don't think that it will anytime soon. But in the meantime, his approval ratings continue to go up, and he is doing a good job. Now, I do want to talk to you about the jobs number from last week, and, you know, it was a great headline number. But we still have a big problem with actually wage growth and people actually making enough money, and we're still in this major stagflation in wages. What do you think? Where are we going?
Well, the wage growth, I mean, it didn't show much. And that was where we saw the market go up so much. There was the fear about the interest rates. But I think that'll come. I think it has to. I mean, if we're going to actually see the growth that we're seeing, we're going to start to see wage growth as well. And I think we're going to see interest rates go up. But that's a sign of a healthy economy. I just think, you know, if you have debt or anything like that, I'd work on paying that down as much as possible. Because I think interest rates are going to go up over the next 5 to 10 years.
I think they're going up a lot faster than that. I think that will be, in my opinion, that's going to be the black swan. It's going to be the dollar and the interest rates because of what they've tried to do. And just quickly, you know, I always want to know how come the government doesn't get audited? How come we don't know where they're spending our money? And what do you think? Should they do that? Should we have a detailed spend and what they do and why, how they're spending our money?
Of course. I mean, it's they're more transparency is desperately needed. You know, we're all kind of just blindly, you know, showing up to work and doing our thing and paying our taxes. And, you know, I mean, there needs to be more engagement in the public. The government needs to be better. They need a complete, and not just transparency, but a complete just go through everything and go, what do we even need anymore? I mean, does it make any sense we're spending $10 million a year on this obsolete program? Or, you know, I think that there really needs to be like a huge kind of overhaul of the government and clean out some really old programs that aren't necessary. And yeah, people are going to lose their jobs, but if we've got a great economy, it's going to be fine. So, I think, you know, we need a lot of change, and it's starting, but we need a lot more.
The words, according to Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Katrina Report. Jane King, as always, thank you so much. It's great to have you on.
Thanks. Bye. Talk to you later.
Thanks. And that was our friend Jane King, Lila Maximedia, the Continuing Report, and of course she joined us every week. And, you know, hey, she and I are on the same page of financial literacy and getting things together. And, of course, that reminds me to remind you about my highschoolinvesting.com program, where we're actually trying to put our program into high schools at no charge. But we do need your help. If you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you'll get a free week of the advisory service if you help there. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. We'll be back with more after the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics and the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show with .com, and of course Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. And Matt, you know, you told me that you thought that Monero was the most profitable to mine for you at the time, or the easiest to mine, whichever. And I have this question for you. Now, obviously, you know, I've talked about this a couple of times, but I just read it again, that Monero is the favorite currency among cyber criminals. And is that still because of its privacy stuff? And is there anything that can be done about that in your mind?
It's about the privacy aspect, and it's just the best in terms of privacy. You get reasonably good privacy out of Dash as well as Zcash. So those are favored currencies as well. As far as cyber criminals go, I'd imagine most of it is drugs, and I don't know I'm definitely not pro drug in any, you know, any way of thinking about it, but I just kind of think that as a country, we spend way too much time worrying about, you know, this drug war and the stuff we spend money on putting, you know, incarcerating people for minor drug offenses, especially when it's like a third strike. Oh, you know, had an ounce of pot on you. You know what I mean? It's like, it's ridiculous. Like the amount of effort that we spend as a society on minor, like, just to me, it's minor. It's not worth it. But as far as, you know, look, more serious criminal activity, you can do it. You know, people used to do it with cash, and they still do it with cash.
Right.
You know, it's we're not going to outlaw dollar bills, are we? So actual physical cash. I mean, at some point, I think we probably are. It's going to be all digital, but I think it's basically the same thing.
They're trying, but one thing I always say is the criminals are going to be ahead of everybody anyway. So if it's not Monero, it would be something else. I mean, it's the same as, you know, all the other laws that, you know, unfortunately, the society is too passive. And it just like this cryptocurrency stuff, Matt, everybody's all hepped up about it now, the SEC and the government and everything else and all these governments. Well, where were they when it first started? They waited until it was too late. Now they're trying to get their share of it versus anything else. And I think that's one of the problems. Instead of preparing ahead of time, they could have put things in order the way they wanted them. Instead, now they're scrambling from behind, and of course that's why the criminals are always ahead, aren't they?
The criminals are always ahead, and you know, everybody's ahead of, you know, these bureaucratic organizations. All this bureaucracy and all this, you know, the politics and all that stuff, it's slow. You know, it's like we talked about before, it's slow. And so I think that, you know, criminals are fast. They'll evolve quickly. They'll use technology to their advantage, and technology firms themselves are fast. I mean, they will, you know, they'll adapt to conditions. So if, you know, you come down on them too hard in one country, they'll move their jurisdiction to another. And like I said, with crypto, there's a lot of smart people around the world, and the world is getting smaller because of, you know, the internet. and these crypto projects, you have development team members that are all over the world. So if you say, oh, you can't do, you know, you, maybe you can't do ICOs in the United States, fine. The United States will be abandoned, and, you know, they'll go to other countries, other jurisdictions that are, you know, more favorable. And what's wrong with that? I mean, so, you know, I think we're, you know, they're going to be behind the curve. They're going to try to get, you know, the biggest chunk of tax revenue they can out of it. But they may end up just like, it may have the unintended consequences of just sending it elsewhere, and then there is nothing to tax.
Now, let's go back to Peter Thiel and PayPal and all those other, and the fees. If Bitcoin gets these fees to a reasonable level, and if they get all that things done, does Bitcoin become more in favor again, you know, in your eyes, as a real currency?
Yeah, I think it does. I think the network effects of money are pretty strong. It's kind of like, you know, if you know, when people first got telephones, when there was only two people with the telephone, it didn't really matter, you know. But when there were, you know, hundreds of millions of people with telephone, suddenly it's a very valuable network. Bitcoin was the first out, and they had the strongest network effects going, most recognizable. If you could get rid of the most significant problem with it is the cost, the transaction cost, which has gone way up, and the speed, which has gone, you know, which has stayed very low. If you can improve those two things, then suddenly things change. And because of the Lightning Network, I think that's, you know, getting ready to change. So I think now that the first beta version of Lightning is going on the main Bitcoin net, you know, you're going to have it go mainstream probably sometime later this year. And then I think Bitcoin could come right back.
Now, do you foresee in the future, you know, for example, we talk not often, but we talk a little bit about the exchange products, you know, the CBOE and the CME with their Bitcoin products. And of course, one of the problems that they have is they're only open 5 days a week. And of course, the Bitcoin trades 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Do you ever foresee the exchanges going to 24/7 trading on the coins as well?
I would think if they want to have a meaningful product, they should. I don't know if they will, but I mean, yeah, you can't. It's difficult to hedge to use the futures as a hedge on a 24/7 market when you know the futures aren't. So I think that's what they'll have to do. If I think that would make the most sense. Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, it should be, because listen, basically the S&P is you know is what 24.5 and a half basically.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I believe that markets in general are going to start being, you know, more often. I mean, we've seen, you know, to compare, you know, other exchanges, you see the S&P, the spiders, now they have expirations 3 days a week with their options.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's coming. I'm a believer that probably trading itself will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week instead of the five it is right now. I think you'll start to see a lot of the elimination of these holidays. I mean, not for the floor traders, but for trading in general, because again, right now, because it's global and because it's real, I think that it has to be done that way if you want to go back into a true free market system, don't you think?
I totally agree. I mean, I think, you know, we're moving into a 24/7 world, and, you know, cryptos are kind of, you know, the first out of the gate doing that. They're you know, if they're threatening banking to the degree that, you know, if you want to send money through a bank, you know, forget the weekends, you know, they're closed. I mean, so that system can't last forever. It's just not the speed at which the world moves anymore. So I think both banking and trading are going to have to go 24/7 eventually. And it's almost too bad, because, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of a breather over the weekends where you can you don't have to watch it. For me, I don't have to watch a screen, you know, every minute. But that's going to have to change, I think.
Yeah, but you're watching the Bitcoin, you're watching the crypto screens.
Now, yeah.
Well, you have been watching. So basically, you know,
it was only cryptos before, you know, now, but, you know, over the weekends.
But I mean, let me ask you this question. How many hours do you spend in front of a screen on an average week? I mean, you know, a week is 7 times 24 is 168. So how many hours are you in front of your screen out of that 168 right now without being open 24 hours and everything else? You're still in front of your screen, I'd probably guess 75 to 80 hours a week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in front of it too much. Yeah, probably 8 to 10 hours a day. So, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing your wife invests in cryptocurrencies because it keeps you. It doesn't give you any trouble from your spouse.
That's right. She's into it too. So we both get to check these things out. So we both enjoy it. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of your relationship. But so you're looking for bottoms here, and will you step in at four? Let's say 460 on Ethereum. Will that be your spot that you'll start buying there, or will you wait to see how it reacts when it gets to 460?
I'll probably start buying in, and if it starts, it starts pushing into the line or a little bit below, I'll start getting concerned. If at some point I'll, stop out, but I'll probably wait and then see if it does break through to the downside. I'll probably wait to see if it can, reattain, that level. Say, yes, I will. So in short, I will buy in at 460. In fact, as we're speaking, it's at 469. So, shortly here, I'm probably going to buy, and then we're going to see what happens. If we fall through and then pop back up above this level, then on the pop back up, I'll buy instead.
Now,
I'll stop out and I'll buy back in on a move back.
So
up.
You will use stops in with those exchanges and those brokers?
Yeah, it's I don't like using stops because of the way things can move very quickly, but I sit here and I watch pretty closely, so.
Okay, so now you've got this whole thing going on, and of course, there's a lot of issues that can be now. Is Ethereum what you're looking to buy? What about would you be a buyer of Bitcoin again at the right level? Or I know because you'd kind of turned that over a little bit, but would you be a buyer there at the right level?
I think Bitcoin, yeah, it's at the right level. I could be interested. It's just that I'm interested in other things more. It's not really that I'm not interested in Bitcoin, although I'll probably increase at some point. I'll probably increase my holdings there. I just think there's higher value in other coins right now.
I gotcha. I mean, Bitcoin goes from 10 to 20,000. It's a 100% gain. But if you buy something at 20 cents, it goes to $3. It's a little bit bigger gain. But this is Crypto Investor X with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com and Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. And make sure you go to CryptoInvestorX.com and get a hold of Matt's free report on the three steps and buying into the crypto space. You'll find it to be extremely informative and really professionally done, because again, Matt has been trading the cryptos since 2014. So make sure you get that free report. All you have to do is go to CryptoInvestorX.com. This is Crypto, and this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. We're going to stop by for a break, but don't forget to go download the show every single day at LibertyTalk.fm. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. DemeterResearch.com and Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrain.com. So, Matt, obviously the crypto worlds are in crazy spaces, and the equity markets themselves are seem fairly tame. They sold off a little bit last week. What did you see? What do you think? And what do you think the relationship of the cryptocurrency is to the market? Some people are comparing them. They're starting to go the same way. What are your thoughts?
Well, if crypto and stocks are correlated, then it's more like the cryptos are leading, the stock market, because they seem to have peaked. They peaked a little bit earlier than the stock market did, and they've been selling off, sort of ahead of the market. So, but I don't know how strong the correlation is. I know it's fairly low. It's it's below 50%. And it's just an issue of how much crossover is there between the average investor in stocks and the average investor in cryptocurrencies. And right now, I still don't think that I don't think there's a ton of crossover, but I think it's becoming. They're gonna become more correlated as more stock investors get into cryptos. But as far as what I expect sort of this week with stocks, I think. We did what I expected last week, where we popped up early Monday, Tuesday, and then we hit resistance Tuesday, and we've been selling off since. Broke support on Wednesday, but I think it's main things. I think is more downside coming now. But I do think that it's probably somewhat limited. I think we're going to go down to maybe the February 9th lows. And that's where I'd be targeting on the downside. On the upside, I have declining resistance. So if we do break above it, then I'll know I'm wrong. Right now, that resistance says it's at about 280 in SPY. And so if we break above 280, then I'll stop out on some shorts and assume that we're going to break higher. But otherwise, I think that down, and that's a fairly rapidly declining resistance. So by the end of this coming week, it'll be in the mid 270s. So it's declining very fast. So at any point, if we break above, I'll know that we are going to go higher. But I think we're going to go lower first.
And what did you think of oil? I got to ask you this. I'm very bearish oil. You're not quite as bearish, but you are bearish oil as well. But the last two Fridays, oil has had, it's been lower, lower, lower. It's had a major rally on Friday. And I'm asking you that, I know you don't follow this stuff in the same way, but, the Aramco IPO is going to get delayed again because they don't like the price of oil right here, and they don't think they're going to get as much money for it as they want. But I'm wondering, do you think people are actually afraid to go home short this over the weekend in case there's a deal with this? And what do the charts say as well?
Well, the charts are like the indicators are fairly neutral. They're our daily RSI is at 52. We had a target to the upside that was just barely missed. It was an incline. It was a inclining target that it is presently about 69.50, and we missed it. Several weeks back. So we didn't miss it by much, though. We missed it by, 40, 50 cents. So I'm not sure if that was close enough or if it wasn't. So everything I'm looking at says bigger picture, it's going down. Short term, we could run all the way back to 69.5. And I'm just prepared to deal with that. If we go up there, I'll just, we've lightened up on our short a little bit. I'll add back to it at that level.
I'm on record as saying that it sees 50 before it sees 70. So that's and I think 58 is the next target on the downside before it may rally a little bit. We'll see. But again, it has been interesting. And of course, gold continues to languish down at the bottom end, still in a range, right? Still, but probably 1300 to 1365, but still in a range. I know you've been looking for it to pop. Is this the week it finally pops off, or is this the week it finally breaks down and goes and tests those lows back from a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a choppy mess for, I don't know, 6 weeks, right? 5 weeks. But it's still, from my perspective, it's still respecting a pattern that should pop it up to 1400 just below at this point. So, I wouldn't. That's still my base case, is that it'll go up to 1400. When it was moving to the downside, in December, I wanted it to go a little bit lower. It never reached target support. So we got unachieved targets, both to the upside and the downside. I still say 65%, odds we're going to go up to 1400 first and then sell off. But there's, that small possibility we actually go back down to the target support first, but I still think it's more to the upside. And when I look at silver, the commercial positioning is very, they're always short, but they're very, very light short position, and that's a bullish position. And silver is getting very close to strong support in the low 16s. So I think silver is going to bounce. I think that means that, gold will probably bounce as well.
No, I just commented the other day on silver and the relationship. It's 80-1 gold over silver, which is not historic highs, but close. And yeah, of course, if we go back to when they were both at their highs, it was only 40-1 or a little bit less. So, that tells me that I'd like to be long silver and short gold myself if that was the trade I'm going to make. And so I know that I noticed in your write-up that the commercials have bought back some of their short VIX futures. What does that say to you?
Well, so they're still net short VIX, but Yeah, they bought back a lot. It's kind of right now they're kind of neutral. I mean, you know, they're short VIX futures. The VIX options are there's no real skew in the premium, so I mean the calls are about as expensive as the puts. So I'm looking at it's kind of fairly priced essentially. So it's not getting a lot out of the VIX. But every time I've seen them be short in VIX futures, I've not. You typically get rallies. You don't typically get major sells. I still think we're going to move to the downside. I just don't think that this move to the downside is going to be the big one. I think we're going to get one, you know, at least one more bounce that will allow, you know, the commercials to get out of those VIX positions, you know, get out of those short positions.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have an edge as well. I mean, you know, they're controlling the markets with what they can buy and what they can sell anyway. So they could actually artificially pop the market anyways. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a lot, you know, you can buy enough Boeing to push the market, the Dow up. I mean, you know, those things are fairly well maneuvered. So, your target on the NYSE, it was hit, right? And it went through. And now, so what's your look at the general worldwide markets and where do you expect things to go?
You know, I have multiple targets that with the NYSE, we did hit my medium term target to the upside. We didn't hit my long term target to the upside, so I don't know that it's completely finished. I do, but for the medium short term, I think, you know, it did hit where I needed it to hit for it to sell off, and it's already sold off some last week, and I think it will continue this week. But the long term target was up at 14,500, something like that. I don't have it in front of me, but that's approximately where it was, and we never got there. So I'd like to see that hit before we see a major bear market begin, and I think that's what will happen once we get there. So but then, you know, I look at other things. I look at the Nikkei went up to our final target, touched it, and, you know, it's been super weak since. But it may not, like the Nikkei may not make a new high. S&P may not make a new high. Certain indices may not make new highs. I was saying NASDAQ.
NASDAQ 8,000. I remember it. Yeah.
But I did say, you know, the medium term, like last week when we talked, I said 7,600 and 80, I think it was a declining target. We did hit that line. We did hit the declining target line, and it's selling off now. So in the short term, I just think more downside. Does this turn into the, you know, big vicious bear market I anticipate, you know, sometime this year? It could, but I still wouldn't be. I'm still not 100% sure on that. I want to see that. I prefer to see that 8,000 target hit.
This is the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz and Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you download the show every day at LibertyTalk.fm. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the little box, and you'll be all set. And I'll email you every day the daily updates. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.